Hi, it's Zoe. So, how's your morale lately? How are you doing with managing your mood and engagement at work? And if you're the boss, I reckon that's having an impact on the people around you. So, we're answering the question today, what should you do and not do around morale? Let's do it.
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
Hey, welcome. Well, I've just had a huge whirlwind of travel and exciting stuff happening. My parents were visited for 2 weeks, which was great. So good as adults to learn about each other as human beings instead of in that parental role. So it was just lovely having them around, and I'm eternally grateful that they could make the long haul from Canada out to Australia to be with us. The other sad thing that happened while they were here is one of my little chickens, my littlest one, Zena, got sick, and she's been sick for the last couple of weeks and tried all of my tricks to help nurture her back to health, but she started going downhill fast, and on the last day they were here, she croaked and passed on into the netherworld. So we're down a chicken. We're down to three chickens now. The eldest, Leia, who's 9, and then her two little daughters that she raised, who I guess were about 8. So old chooks, they look pretty darn healthy though. So they're enjoying the spring and scavenging around the garden. It made me wonder though, like if you believe in reincarnation and the opportunity to have life as with many different experiences, if you would choose to be a chook, what would that be like? And I can imagine, well, it depends on which context, like a chicken in a battery hen house doesn't sound like much fun. A chicken in my life, like a chicken who's got a luxury backyard and is fed delicious tidbits and is free to roam around and has no predators, I think that's pretty damn good. I think there's a lot to be learned from the life of a chicken in terms of just keeping things simple and delighting in small things. So that's my chook life lesson for the day. What I'm reading lately is all around culture, employee engagement, and loyalty, because that is the topic of my next book. Yes, book number 3 is actually in train. I actually have written some of it, and it's due to be published at the end of February. That means I need to really start hustling. So now that I put it out there, you know, I've got to make it happen, because as soon as you speak it to the world, the accountability game nips you in the butt and gets you moving. So the book is coming and we are planning to launch it at the Edge of Leadership on Conference in 23 March in Canberra. So if you're coming along to that event, you will get a free copy of my latest book on loyalty, How Experience Drives Employee Engagement. And I think that's a good segue, I'm so organized today, around the topic of morale, which came from a workshop participant who wanted me to answer the question, is there anything I should or should not do when it comes to encouraging positive workplace morale? So the context for the question is that they have difficult circumstances. They are a small team. They are down the chain of command. So they're not at executive management level. They're more in the management delivery level of the organization. And they quite often feel reactive to the pressures that are put upon them by the powers that be, the executive. And that can feel pretty disempowering. So morale can take a beating. If you're constantly shifting goalposts and trying to readjust and accommodate demands from above and the pace is frantic, it can be hard work. And so I think her question is right. Like, how do you actually help people cope with that sense of we are at the mercy of other people's decisions, and that sense of powerlessness and lack of autonomy can be quite debilitating. So what do you do with that? Well, let's rewind a little bit, because I think morale has at its center, it's basically woven into the fabric and the DNA of an organization. And I think if you look at the first day on the job, that will give you some clues as to how morale will be played out and managed or not managed in an organization. So here's a little exercise for you. Think about your job or any job that you've been to and remember the first day. What was it like? How were you welcomed? Were you made a fuss over? Were you given a great workplace station? Were you introduced to people? Just have a think about that, what your first day was like and how you felt at the end of it. I want to tell you about my first day at Outward Bound Australia, because it was a pretty good effort, I have to say, at building morale. And it was a really enjoyable day. So I flew out from Canada and I spent my first night in town at a hotel that my friend shouted for a going away present, which was awesome because it was the Hyatt. And back in those days when I had not two pennies to rub together, staying in a luxury hotel was just beyond my wealth paradigm. So that was kind of amazing. So my first day on the job started that night, actually, before I even started. And a bunch of Outward Bound employees came into the city. It's about a 45-minute drive to meet me and to have drinks at a local pub. So right away, I was meeting people socially and having fun and engaged. And I thought, this is cool. I'm being looked after socially. I'm not being left out on my own, which is pretty awesome. The next morning, on the way out to the property, which is headquarters are just south of Canberra, my colleague who drove me out there took the time to just fill me in on the lay of the land. So what the rituals were, what the expectations were, what I was likely to face, and just some of the lingo, because coming from Canada to Australia, there's a lot of different lingo. So I was like, what does that mean? And what is that expression? And what is that? So here's a simple example. Sunnies. Have you got your sunnies? I'm like, what are sunnies? Oh, they're sunglasses. And that was my introduction to how Australians shorten and change a lot of words. So I was scrambling to keep up with the lingo, let alone all the workplace flows. So we get to the property, which is a rural property, and you go through the gate and there was horses, which I found amazing. It was a beautiful spring day. And we walk into the main ops building, operations building, where the morning meeting took place. And they have a ritual of every morning having a morning meeting to fill people in on what's going on around the country with the different programs, so people can feel connected to their friends and to the other programs that are happening around Australia. And at the morning meeting, I was introduced, I was made a fanfare, I got clapped, and people were really curious and interested in me. They wanted to know about my background, where I come from, and I was made to feel so welcome from a social point of view. The other thing that happened is that I knew that this was my tribe because everybody dressed the same. It was hiking boots, jeans, and outdoor fleece. So kind of like the uniform for outdoor educators. So I felt like I fit in right away. And one of the other great things they did, two things really, they took me on a huge tour of the property, filling me in on what the buildings were all about, how they were used for programs, how they were used by staff, who lived in which accommodation. They took me to my accommodation. And then they did this amazing thing. They took me to the logistics dude, who was Marty at the time, and they issued me with my Outward Bound gear, which included a pack, a head torch, a sleeping bag, an inner sheet, a waterproof case for my radios, all this and a compass, and all of it was branded with Outward Bound stuff. I got t-shirts and thermal underwear, shirt and bottoms, all with the Outward Bound logo. And so I was really branded by the tribe. I was welcomed by the tribe. I was celebrated by the tribe, and I was immediately included into the community. And it was such a relief and such a joy from then on in. So I had lots of things to learn and lots of interesting experiences. And that first day kind of set the tone for morale. Everywhere I went, there was a sense of hustle and bustle. And that didn't stop people from looking up and smiling and wanting to get to know me. So I think that is a wonderful example of how to do morale first day on the job. And I think that how you start is how you end up going on. And certainly, that was my experience of Outward Bound the 9 years that I was there. The hustle, the bustle, the enthusiasm, the welcoming, the interest in people, and the interesting people that came about. And all those little pieces that we put in play in terms of the ceremony, the rituals, the gear that we gave to people to help them feel like they're part of community were pretty critical for encouraging morale. Now, were there dips in morale? Yes, there were. There were some days where things were not going right. And we can look at that later. However, I think let's look at the big architecture of what we need for morale. And there's three significant things. The first one, which I alluded to in that story, is belonging. And Brené Brown talks about this in a lot of her work, that we are hardwired to connect. And I know this from my work in leadership maturity, is that that sense of belonging is one of the earlier stages of leadership development that we go through. The sense of community and feeling safe in a tribe is an early stage of our development, which never leaves us. So feeling safe and belonging to a group is pretty fundamental in how we can feel safe to explore who we are and where we are on this planet. So if we don't have that in our place of work, which absorbs a lot of our time and energy throughout our adult life, that can be quite distressing and have a real grating effect on individual and collective morale. So if there's no sense of belonging and it's not cultivated by the leaders, what are you doing? Like, you're just showing up to push paper around and to, you know, punch the clock. So how do you do that? How do you create a sense of belonging? Well, some of the things I already mentioned, you know, it's like that sense of tribal identity is one thing, is showing people around so they can get to know who's who at the zoo and how people relate to each other and who they report to and who your team is and what your team is meant to do. These kind of things sound pretty damn obvious, and you'd be surprised how they are missed out on people's first day on the job. Making a big deal of somebody as they join your community is such a small thing and makes such a big difference. If people bother to pause in the frenzy of their work day to say, hey, welcome on board, we're glad you're here, we look forward to hearing your contributions, tell us about your background, tell us about what you're excited about, tell us what you feel like you can contribute, you are welcome into the bosom of the fold, and you feel a part of something bigger than yourself. And when you feel a part of something bigger than yourself, it hooks your sense of commitment and contribution, which is pretty important. And that sort of leads to the second point in terms of what you need for morale, and that's meaning. Meaning in the work is pretty crucial. How do you know if you have meaning in the work? Well, here's a sign where it's not there. And if the zeitgeist or the mood in the organization is people show up and go, what's in it for me? And they respond to every possible change and initiative with the, how does this suit me and how does it work for me? Then you know what's missing, one of the things that's probably missing is either a sense of belonging, or two, the sense of contribution and meaning is not really clear. And so people don't have this sense of, I'm showing up to work and I'm making a difference in this bigger agenda. This is something exciting and inspiring that's making my work feel like I'm contributing to a cause. And it's line of sight of individual activity to that cause that is a source of great morale. So if that's missing and the what's in it for me, the woofum is rampant, then some work needs to be done on that. It's like, let's bring some purpose and meaning to our work and talk about it and articulate it and make it visible. Which comes to the third point about what we need for morale, and that's gaming. I love this concept of work, of gaming work. And I first came across it in Dr. Jason Fox's work called Game Changer. He talks about the gamification at work and designing work for motivational theory. As a concept, it comes back to the premise that work can be enjoyable, and I reckon ought to be enjoyable, and we can choose to make it enjoyable. And if we treat work as a game, like not something to be dismissed or to think lightly of, but to play with it lightly, with less seriousness and less obligation and less duty and less pressure, then that changes our experience of our work life, I reckon. So I think when we're looking at gaming your work, I think, what rules are you playing by? And the rules of work, are they clear and agreed? And sometimes this can be really distressing for people if they're not really clear what the rules are. Who do I report to? How do I complain about stuff? What's expected of me? If that's fuzzy, that rankles people. So let's get that stuff sorted. The other thing to look at is friction. You know, how are your rules and your systems? Are they laden with friction? Are things really clunky to do? Do you have some processes that are from 30 years ago, which no longer make sense in the current business context or even with the technology? Have a think about the stupid things that you do day to day that you do just because they've been done like that forever. That kind of friction can erode morale. You know, it's like, oh, got to do this process, got to do this report, whatever that is. And then that's draining energy that is having a sap on morale. So here's a couple other questions. You know, what are your systems? Are your systems creating friction or flow? Are your folks experiencing frustration or fun? And yes, fun is critical for workplace enjoyment. I think the other question to ask yourself is, how do you know if you're winning the game of work? Like, how do you know you're winning? Like, where do you get a sense of satisfaction and progress and achievement? If that's not explicit and visible, which is another Dr. Jason Fox concept, which is to make progress visible, then people just sort of waft along, drift along, and that kind of can be quite depleting. When you make it explicit what the rules of the game are, what the goals are, and you make all of that trackable and visible, then it really motivates people to get on board and start contributing and talking in a meaningful way. And the other thing about winning the game of work, how often are you celebrating? Are you celebrating your wins and your winning? And not just leaving it to the December Christmas party saying, hey, good effort, everybody. Good job. Let's celebrate. And then everybody goes, well, that was a slog. And we get to the end of the year and we're exhausted. And now you want us to stand around and feel awkward socially with our peers. Hurrah. So I think thinking about celebration as a regular cadence and not doesn't always involve like drinks and nibbles. It's celebrating in a way that's meaningful to each person. For some folks, that's a quiet acknowledgement. For others, it's a public celebration. However, the pause and acknowledge is pretty critical in the cadence of developing pretty strong morale. All right, there we have it. Those are my key tips for morale, belonging, meaning, and gaming. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. How do you gamify work? How do you show up? How do you bring meaning? And how do you create belonging? So if you go to the show notes, which are zoerouth.com/podcast/morale, drop us a note. I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, live well, lead well.